The truth is, I never turn away any customers. I just sometimes have to decline to create cakes that violate my faith, and that was the case in this.
Colorado baker Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cake Shop talking about his presentation at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, July 23rd and 24th in Chicago.
The two gentlemen that sued me were welcome in my shop that day. I told them, you know, I'll sell you cookies, brownies, birthday cakes, you know, anything else, custom cakes. It's just that I can't create this one because this is a cake that goes against the core of my faith. And they sued me, but I serve everybody who comes in the shop. They're just cakes that I can't create because of the message they portray.
You can meet and hear Jack Phillips making the case for the freedom of conscience at this year's Making the Case Conference. The premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. You'll find a conference schedule and you can register at issuesetc.org. I think we used to have a common sense grounded in reality definition of the word racism. It was rather simple to prejudge someone on the basis of their skin color. I don't buy into the concept of race, but let's talk about skin color or their ethnicity or their culture. That all went into this catch-all of racism. Now, the definition has become much more elusive. It almost sounds sometimes, especially in the anti-racism movement, as though the new definition of racism is just being white. So that would make it anti-white, not anti-racism. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our series on cultural Marxism continues. Today we'll talk about race, racism, and the new racism. Pastor Paul Dare is our guest. He's senior pastor at Zion Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Minnesota, and recently concluded a Bible study series on godless religion. Pastor Dare, welcome back.
Todd, thank you for having me.
How would you respond to someone who says this is not appropriate and two white males can, by definition, have nothing to say about race and racism?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question, and I've heard that one before on a number of different topics, like men commenting on abortion. A man certainly should not and could not legitimately do such a thing because he doesn't have the same experience as a woman. What we're really saying there is the fact that right and wrong is subjective. It's all about experience. And unless you have my subjective experience, then you cannot really comment on it. In other words, what we've done there is we've made truth, we've made right and wrong, is no longer an absolute from God. What we're saying is that it's simply based on my subjective feelings. And unless you have my subjective feelings, then you can no longer comment on that or any other topics. As Christians, of course, we hold to God's holy word, where God himself spells out for us his yes and his no, his blessing, his curse, his right, his wrong, all of those things. And as Christians, then, we hold to what that word actually says. It is not a subjectiveness to it. It is God's objective holy word is how we look at things, and thus we're able to comment on whatever the topic may be. I'm not going to argue that you should listen to me because I'm a pastor. You don't need to listen to me because I'm a man. You don't need to listen to me because of the color of my skin. None of those things. Another way I explain it sometimes is when I have adults in newcomers class, one of the things I tell them in the first class is they should never listen to anything that I say. And I have them stare at me for a little bit. They discover that I'm strange. But then after that, I explain to them what we do as Christians is we go to God's holy word, and it is incumbent that what I teach, what you learn, and what we then hold to and confess is from God's objective word. So if somebody says, just like you said, Todd, how can two white guys talk about this? Well, because it's not subjective. God's right and wrong. It is his objective truth that allows us to be able to speak.
You wanted to talk a little bit about a current story out of Hopkins, Minnesota. What's happening there?
Well, this is really an interesting, I think a pretty interesting story. And it's concerning really the big topic of racism. And I think there's what's really getting a lot of people's goat these days is that it seems like everything is racist. Things that nobody had any idea were racist are being called racist. And then, of course, there's a lot of folks react to being called themselves racist, and they say, wait a second, I don't feel like I have a racist bone in my body, but you're telling me I'm racist. Well, this particular story I wanted to bring to people's attention because in this story, what's happening is that there are two completely different definitions of racism that are out there. And in many ways, what's happening is that people are talking past one another. There is the definition of racism that a lot of Christians know and are aware of, that racism, when we take a look at it, in fact, I'll give you just an actual definition here that I'm going to get back to from Merriam-Webster, is that it's a belief that race is the primary determinant of human traits and capacities, and that racial differences produce an inherent superiority of a particular race. All right, so we, as Christians, we look at racism as an absolute sin. It is abhorrent. And the like, that the way that we look at people, you know, these things from the outside. What we're missing today is that the definition of racism is changing. And like I said, I just have a story here I'd like to highlight. It's from Hopkins School District. And in the school district, the superintendent, her name is Rhoda Barippi Reed, and she put forth a video just a couple months ago saying that the system of racism pervades every aspect of daily existence. And she went on in this video to say things like this, that Hopkins School District could no longer be a place where scholars, meaning her students, experience racism. It does not belong in our school. It does not belong anywhere. And, you know, I think people hear that and go, okay, great, we agree. Racism does not belong in our schools. It does not belong. I think, you know, Christians, we can be cheering along with this. And then she continues, we need to examine the role that whiteness plays in our macro system of white supremacy. And we intentionally work to turn this crisis into opportunity to become an anti-racist system. And then she goes on. Researchers who have studied what it means to be an anti-racist explains that it is not the responsibility of people of color to fix racism or to explain to white people how not to be racist. Rather, anti-racism requires an understanding of history, an understanding of how people of color have been historically and systemically, I want here is to note that's the second time system or systemically has been used, and systemically impacted by racist institutional policies and human practices. This requires, quote, white people to self-educate, to listen to people of color, and to identify and interrupt racist policies, practices, and behaviors. This is a journey that begins with self-reflection, and this pervades through every aspect of our daily existence. So she put forth, okay, this idea that, you know, we have to eradicate white supremacy in our school, but what she's talking about is not what Christians understand as racism. What she's putting forth is the system of racism that has existed that really then all white people are part of, and it doesn't matter what's in your heart, it doesn't matter what you've said or what you've done. If you've had not a single racist thought in your heart, not a single racist word has come out of your mouth, None of that matters. What we're talking about is a system that has existed since 1619, where slavery first came to America, and still exists to then oppress then all people of color. And white people need to understand and be anti-racist to, in essence, repent not of anything that they have done, not of anything they have thought. Their sin is simply who they are as part of the system that then has oppressed. Now, here's the interesting part of the story. Here's why I'm bringing it up. So she put this forth. This was on YouTube. And then there's a group right now that I mentioned in a previous podcast called Parents Defending Education. And it just so happens that this particular group took note of this, and what they're doing is they have filed federal civil rights complaint with the U.S. Department of Education against the Hopkins Public School District for discrimination on the basis of race, color, and national origin. So in other words, what's happening here, and this is the point, so if the listeners are still with me here, this is what's going on. You have Merrippi Reed, the superintendent, saying, we've got to root out racism. And she has a group, Parents Defending Education, coming basically at her then saying, based on what you've said, you are the racist. And so as this goes to the U.S. Department of Education, the question is really this: what is racism? So you see, Todd, is racism something that's in your heart, something you display in your actions, this animus you might hold towards someone of another race just because they're of another race? Or is racism a system? Is it something that pervades all of society, and thus, because of the fact that you are perhaps of an oppressor race, for instance, being white, that in and of that, you are part of the racist system and you are culpable for all of the oppression that takes place to a minority? That's the question. And it's going to go to the Department of Education. It's a fascinating case.
So maybe one thing we need to square away here is, in its most extreme case, anti-racism really amounts to anti-whiteness. If just being white is itself the evil of racism, and they're trying to stamp out racism, this is really, as you have pointed out, I don't think we should call it reverse racism. We should just call it racism.
Yes. When people say reverse racism, I know what they're talking about. I understand. But I kind of use the word lazy, in that it's not understanding where it's coming from. It's coming from the idea of cultural Marxism that divides everybody into groups, right? So everyone's divided into a group, and you are either in an oppressor group or you're in an oppressed group. Doesn't matter what you've done in life, doesn't matter what you've thought, it is applied to you, okay? So you have this here, and then what transpires is really then exactly what you're saying. If you're in the wrong group, then by virtue of that, you are a racist. Now, when I say the definition is changing before our eyes, and this is what we have to watch, I literally mean, I hope you're with me, the definition is literally changing before our very eyes. A moment ago, I cited Merriam-Webster, and I read their definition of racism. Their definition of racism is actually in the process of changing. In fact, I'd like to read this to you here. The dictionary, which has long served as a gatekeeper of the English lexicon, made plans for the update after recent Drake University graduate Kennedy Mitchum emailed editors frustrated about the current definition's inadequacy. And so it is, racism now has what I just read and what people are usually how they associate what racism is. But now it also includes a political or social system founded on racism, racial prejudice or discrimination, a system founded on it. And here's what Mitchum, who submitted this, had to say. It says, Mitchum, a black woman who hails from Florzant, Missouri, she wanted the dictionary to provide a more detailed definition, one that includes an explanation of systemic oppression. Here's what, this is just fascinating right here. She grew tired of having conversations about racial injustice just to have people point out the dictionary as a defense for why they're not racist. So in other words, folks would go up to her and say, hey, I love all people. I think all people are equal. I don't discriminate. And she grew sick and tired of this. That's not racism. You're still a racist. She said, and I'm quoting her here, I kept having to tell them that definition is not representative of what is actually happening in the world. The way that racism occurs is not just prejudice, it's the systemic racism that is happening for a lot of black Americans, and she told this to CNN. You see, it's a battle over what actually is racism. And is it the racism that all of us, everybody would say this is a sin, this is terrible, this animus in the heart that exists? Or is racism the cultural Marxist definition? It's a system. And this, and again, it's fascinating. I'm using the word definition, and the dictionary is actually changing. So this is going to be very interesting what takes place. And I might add also, I would say this new definition is quite evil, is the word that I would use. When you start condemning people based upon who they are rather than what they've done, well, we start talking about things like the Nazis. That's where we go when we start doing that.
I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're discussing race, racism, and the new racism with Pastor Paul Dare. Thanks to Jeff in Kingston, New York, Glenda in Baldwin, Missouri, and Mark in Plano, Texas, for recently joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Since they joined during the Easter season, they'll be receiving Pastor Will Whedon's new children's book, They Shall Never Perish, and several other membership premiums. Find out how to become a monthly or annual contributor at IssuesETC.org or call Lutheran Public Radio 618-223-8385. Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club during the 50 days of Easter. On the other side, why must Christians reject both racism and anti-racism?
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
memorization, that boring thing your pastor made you do during confirmation. Why do we do memorization? What value does it have when I can just look it up on the internet? Well, Pastor Brian Heller, chaplain at Lutheran Senior Services in St. Louis, explains why memory matters in the April issue of the Lutheran Witness. He talks about the great value as you age and get older of having these things, the Word of God, ingrained in your mind forever. Pick up your copy by visiting cph.org/witness today or visit our website, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you look at the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.
Give your mom the gift of a clean home for Mother's Day with a gift certificate from The Cleaning Authority. In St. Louis, call 314-416-8117. In the St. Louis Metro East, call 618-213-8296 and be sure to mention issues, etc. Give the gift of time for your mom with a Mother's Day gift certificate from The Cleaning Authority. 314-416-8117 or 618-213-8296.
Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas is now enrolling for the coming school year. What makes us unique? A confessional Lutheran school offering a classical education for preschool through 12th grades. Faith Lutheran School features rigorous classes that incorporate a focus on wisdom, truth, virtue, and the historic Christian faith. Live online classes are also available for high school students worldwide. To learn more about Faith Lutheran School or to submit an application, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's our series on cultural Marxism. We're talking about race, racism, and the new racism with Pastor Paul Dare. He's senior pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Minnesota. He recently concluded a Bible study series on godless religion. In about 20 minutes, we are going to be talking with Pastor Tom Baker about how God takes his people of Israel into exile. Pastor Dare, why must Christians reject both racism and anti-racism?
Well, we reject racism. Let's start with our common definition of racism. And the common definition of racism, boy, I don't want to sound like a broken record here, but creation and redemption. That we have been made in the image of God, that God has given to us life. He has given to each person a soul. Thus, he has given to each person a purpose. That is, each person is fearfully and wonderfully made. And thus, as God created each person and gifted life, so it is that we value each and every life as well. But then it goes a step further than that. There's Jesus, who God sent for each and every soul. All of heaven rejoices at one little lost lamb that repents. That means that that life is valuable to all of God's kingdom, if you think about that, and thus should be valuable to us. There are a number of Bible verses. We can think of the anointing of David, for instance, in 1 Samuel 16:7, where, you know, David didn't look as impressive as his brothers, but the word that comes to Samuel is, don't look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him, talking about his brother. For the Lord sees not as a man sees. Man looks on outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. that all these outward things that we get so caught up in, God, just no. No, that's not it. And then we can go back to the gospel. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. I don't know that we often think about John 3:16 in regard to racism. But look, God loves each and every person in this world. Then you could even take a look at heaven itself. Revelation 7:9. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and people and languages. In other words, people from everywhere that God loved and saved through his Son, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. It's a beautiful picture that we have here, that racism is evil because God has created and redeemed each person. And I feel like I say that every week, but that's key to this whole thing. Then when it comes to the new definition of racism, that is the Marxist definition of racism, it's evil on a number of levels. But one of the things that I haven't mentioned yet is it doesn't allow for anyone to change, if you will. So in other words, if you're racist because of the group that you're part of, well, how in the world am I supposed to change that? I'm just stuck where I'm at. I am what I am. The best I can do is become woke, that is, repent of who God has made me. That's what that word literally means, repent of who God has made you. I can be an anti-racist, recognize that I'm part of the system, and even then, what do I precisely do exactly, because it's who I am? And then sometimes people feel hopeless or bitter. So I'll give you an example. A Christian wants to defend himself. You know, someone's calling you racist. What do you do, Pastor, when someone calls you racist? And we have this instinct because we're operating on the biblical definition of racism. We say, no. I have friends who are minorities. I voted for Barack Obama. Something. You know, something where you're trying to prove to somebody that you're not racist. In fact, in Bible study last night, and I know as a gentleman that listens is probably listening now, but he made mention, and I would say with some emotion, I've got a child who's a minority, two nephews, people I love with all my heart. I am not a racist. But to a cultural Marxist, those words only prove that he is a racist. Why? Because being a racist is just part of the system that you are part of. And actually, by speaking those words, you're actually playing right into a cultural Marxist's hands. Instead, and I'm going to tell you, Todd, I'm in the process of formulating this, a response to when you are called racist based upon not what you believe, but the system that you are supposedly part of. But the response has to be something along the lines of, I reject group identity, and I love each person as an individual, as who God has made them, and I reject you categorizing people by their group. Which, ironically, of course, according to our definition of racism, is to say cultural Marxists are racists. And that's where we have two competing racisms right now. What is racism? Is it a system, or is it what we know from Scripture to be true?
Do we need to take it one step further, Pastor Dare, and reject the idea of race altogether? There are different, obviously different ethnicities, different skin colors. There are different, I'll even use the term, which I otherwise despise, different lived experiences. We recognize all of those things, but the notion of race, to my mind, is not found in the Bible. We all come from one man and one woman. We all share the same blood. Even in terms of our genetics, it's impossible for someone to distinguish between the various so-called races genetically. And I think Christians need to reject the entire idea while opposing racism,
while opposing anti-racism, I think we also need to oppose the very notion of race. It's a lie.
So what we're doing, what you're describing there, Todd, is really just I'd say, spot on. We can rejoice in people's cultures. We can rejoice that people have different gifts and talents and all sorts of things that come from God. But this whole thing of race, if we could just look at folks as been given a soul and a soul that is created and a soul that is loved, if we can just see that, it transforms everything, and one that the Lord desires to be with him for all eternity through his Son, and that changes absolutely everything. And what does race do? If when you inject race into it, in many ways, it ends up being a distraction from all God has said and all God intends for us now and for eternity. It ends up, the best word I could say is being a distraction. That's probably the nicest word I can say.
Pastor Paul Dare is our guest. It's our series on cultural Marxism. We're talking about race, racism, and the new racism. What things should we be looking and listening for to know if we're encountering the new racism? Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. continues to rank among the top podcasts in Christianity. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will help make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast Christ's net on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
The New Testament includes 4 versions of the life, suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Son of Man. We call these 4 different views on Jesus the 4 Gospels. Well, how do they relate to one another? Why do we have 4 different Gospels? How do they each portray Jesus in a unique way? Well, if you've asked any of these questions before, the Lutheran Witness, April issue of the Lutheran Witness is for you. Pick up your copy at cph.org/witness or visit our website, witness.lcms.org, to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
It's our cultural Marxism series. We're talking to Pastor Paul Dare about race, racism, and the new racism. It is popular to say, to each their own. We not only would prefer to make our own choices, but we also find it terribly offensive to think about taking choices away from anyone else. This is especially true when it comes to gender and sexual preferences. The LGBTQA+ identity-related issues are everywhere in our culture. And yet there is an identity even more foundational that we ought to consider. According to 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. A little bit from the Issues Etc. book of the month for April, Words of Strength and Promise. It's a devotional resource from Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. You can also browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. book of the month for April, Words of Strength and Promise. Pastor Dare, what kind of things should our listeners be looking and listening for in the workplace or in conversation to know if they're encountering the new racism?
Yeah, I think the first thing is become just familiar with the buzzwords. You know, if you hear anti-racism itself, which is being bantied about, well, you know where you're going. If you hear social justice, if you hear systemic in any way or system, you're probably headed that way. If you hear whiteness, that's another word of really, I'd say, increasing frequency that's there. And the encouragement I'd have here is to pray for courage to be able to speak. And we have nothing to be embarrassed about to say that God loves each person. And you're not going to fall into judging an entire group by a group. And to be able to simply say that kindly, to say it honestly, straightforwardly, to make that confession. And we have nothing to be embarrassed about there. That is what God has given to us.
When someone does encounter this in the workplace, and it may happen in a casual way, but it may also happen with your boss or with the human resources department, how can a Christian guard against two things? One, capitulating to this and simply repeating the lie of anti-racism, but two, guard against the possibility of losing their job over this, which may not be possible.
Well, I think the first one, it's this thing called old-fashioned courage. And courage is going to be ever more needed. Todd, I don't know if I've mentioned this to you, but the Bible study that I've been teaching, I titled it Godless Religion, and since then I actually retitled the Bible study. I decided that if you wrote the Bible study, you're allowed to retitle the Bible study. And I retitled the Bible study, Christians in a Woke World, A Call to Courage and Confession. And the first thing you're talking about is something that it's uncomfortable. We haven't had to do it, but really we're talking about courage to be able to do that, and that is really hard. I will say this, I'm sitting in the safety of my pastor's office talking about this. All right, so, and I've wondered, you know, if I'm in the position, what am I going to do? I fully remember Peter saying to our Lord, even if all the others desert you, I won't, and that did not go well for him. Courage, though, to pray for courage and to ask God for courage. And then the second part is you simply then call to courage and confession. You confess what you believe. I think it does help, and at least it could. It might not. But to say, you know, this is your belief, and the fact of the matter is there still should be, even though I know these things are eroding, I get it, I know these things are under assault, I'm aware of the Equality Act, all sorts of things. But this is a profession of your faith, and that at least gives them a grounds for some protection.
And if that protection is withdrawn or does not exist, should a Christian be willing to sacrifice their livelihood, or at least the current form of it, for the sake of making that confession?
Well, see, here we are again. Now, I am sitting here in the safety of my pastor's office, and I've wondered what I would do if that situation was presented to me. But I do know that, yes, we are called to confess our Lord before men, and he might then confess us before his Father. I mean, we have been given this, to be sure. This is something that I would add Christians have been doing throughout all the years, much more intensely than just losing your jobs when we go through all the years in different parts of the world that Christians have faced. And the fact of the matter is that, well, I'll just simply say it like my pastor once said to me. He said, Christianity has never been for wimps. And if we think that we can avoid, like if people are talking to me and they're looking for the silver bullet to avoid consequences for being a Christian, Well, that's the exact opposite of what Jesus said when he said, pick up your cross and follow me. A cross that we remember from cross unto glory. It's the exact opposite of what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, where he reminded us that, yes, blessed are you when people persecute you, insult you, when they say all sorts of evil against you because of me. But then he adds, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, that it's all Jesus. So that is a difficult question to answer, and especially I will tell you this again. I'm sitting in a chair in my church office as a pastor. All right? I'm not on that front line. So I say this saying, all right, here's the word and here's our Lord, but I say this also in all humility.
Do you think that we in the church might have assumed too much by not addressing real racism in our preaching and teaching?
Absolutely. I completely agree with that. And I think if there's something that I would say we as Christians can definitely look at is the fact that since we have let racism slide for so long, that perhaps that has contributed to the rise of then the idea of systemic racism. That in many ways we have been guilty, such in the parable of the Good Samaritan, of walking by and doing precisely nothing. Well, then maybe someone else walked by and decided to do something about the situation. And that is something that I've wondered about, that this all has to be addressed. Kind of like, you know, we have the rise of couples living together. Well, in large part, that happens because couples don't want to be divorced. They had this idea that we want to give it a trial run because what happened? Divorce exploded. And maybe we didn't address divorce, but then that gave rise to something else. Because I don't want to get divorced, I want to give this a trial run. And now look what we have. You know, that, yeah, you know, we could definitely have some culpability there.
Pastor Paul Dare is senior pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Minnesota. He recently concluded a Bible study on godless religion. Pastor Dare, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Todd.
We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson on Israel going into exile in 2 Kings 17 with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel next.
Truth is, I never turn away any customers. I just sometimes have to decline to create cakes that violate my faith, and that was the case in this.
Colorado baker Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cake Shop talking about his presentation at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, July 23rd and 24th in Chicago.
The two gentlemen that sued me were welcome in my shop that day. I told them, you know, I'll sell you cookies, brownies, birthday cakes, you know, anything else, custom cakes. It's just that I can't create this one because this is a cake that goes against the core of my faith. And they sued me. But I serve everybody who comes in the shop. They're just cakes that I can't create because of the message they portray.
You can meet and hear Jack Phillips making the case for the freedom of conscience at this year's Making the Case Conference. The premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. You'll find a conference schedule, and you can register at issuesetc.org.
Silicon Valley is a place of cutting-edge innovation which radically changes lives, where science fiction is already in research and development. In the heart of this digital chaos is a sanctuary of constancy and reverence, Hope Lutheran in Fremont, where nothing is new under the California sun, where the timeless gospel is proclaimed and the sacrament is celebrated with the historic liturgy that truly changes lives. And thanks to Silicon Valley, you may find us on the web at hopelutheranfremont.org.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Is it hard? Yes. Will it challenge you? Absolutely. Is it a blessing from God for you and those you will serve? Without question.
Dr. Lawrence Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
The pastoral ministry is all of these things, and that's why Concordia Theological Seminary exists, to form servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Men from all over the world with a variety of unique backgrounds come to our campus to receive faithful training that will equip them for the challenging but blessed work of serving as pastors in Christ's church.
Learn more about studying for the vocation of pastor at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Christ-Centered Worship, Confessional Theology, Lutheran Community, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Lutheran Talk.
We have an ecumenical responsibility to hold forth the Scriptures and to bear witness to grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone.
Lutheran Music. Listen anytime, anywhere in 2020 with the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. Download for iPhone, Android, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
In the Confession of Lutheran Dogmatics on Holy Scripture, I seek to expound and defend the doctrine of Holy Scripture in three areas.
Dr. Jack Kilcrease, talking about his new book in the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, Holy Scripture.
One, the absolute truthfulness of Holy Scripture. Two, the Christ-centered nature of Holy Scripture, and three, to expound and defend the doctrine of Holy Scripture in a postmodern environment.
Learn more about Holy Scripture at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Confessional Lutherans are invited to rent a four-bedroom, three-bath Table Rock lakefront home in the Ozarks. Table Rock Lake is a premier lake in the heart of the Ozarks for boating, water sports, and fishing. This log cabin-style rental sleeps 12. It is 30 minutes from Branson and 20 minutes from Silver Dollar City. Learn more by calling Swanson Estates, 713-855-2681. Be sure to mention Issues Etc., 713-855-2681.